it in Genesis 1 and 6, okay? Flip your Bibles to Genesis 1 and 6. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And thus God made the firmament and divided the waters from the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And so it was. And God called the firmament heaven. And so evening and morning were the second day. He created the firmament, and it was the thing that separated heaven from earth. Did you hear what he said in here? And he called the firmament heaven. Now in the Bible, there are three distinct pictures of heaven. All right, the Bible speaks of three heavens. The first heaven is called the atmosphere. This is the heaven. This is the atmosphere that we live in, which is the immediate sky that we see. The atmosphere is also called the firmament. It's the air that we breathe. This is the first heaven that they're referring to in the Bible. The second heaven is where the atmosphere ends. It's where the stars and the planets are. You look into the heavens. You look into the heights of the heavens where the stars and the planets are at. That's the second heaven. Then there's a third heaven, which the Apostle Paul referred to. It's in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2. He said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. So Paul's teaching about a third heaven. The third heaven is the place where God is. It's the place where God is. We exist on the planet right now to host the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We exist to host the presence of God. Everybody say this with me. I exist to host his presence. We need to bring heaven to earth. We have to realize we need heaven to invade earth. We can create the right atmosphere in our lives where the presence of God is with us all day long, no matter what we're doing, no matter where we're at. This isn't a go-to-church thing and get into corporate anointing and the atmosphere and the presence of God is with us. This is you and I getting a mindset that says, wherever I go, he goes with me. Wherever I place my foot, the presence of God is with me. We can create an atmosphere that can host his presence all day long. Jesus talked about this. He said we should make this a priority. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9, Jesus is teaching and he says this, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, where? As it is in heaven. He's teaching us that we should desire to host his presence on the earth. And the only thing that is separating the presence of God from the earth is the atmosphere. And God in his grace and mercy has given you and I the power to change the atmosphere. You can change the climate around you. We have the power. We've been given the authority over this earth. We have the power to have dominion and take back everything the devil has stolen. And we have sat back and we've allowed the devil to rule and reign when we have got to take our rightful place. God called us to rule and reign, never grumble and complain. There is no room for the body of Christ to be operating in complaining. It is not of God. We got to take our rightful place and set the atmosphere for the presence of God to invade earth. He tells us that we should desire to host his presence. We have to change the way the church thinks. I'm just telling you, we, the body of Christ, somehow, I don't know where we lost it, Bill. I don't know how it got here, but somehow the body of Christ, what we have done is we built the church around personalities. It's like if we've got a real dominant personality preaching the sermon, then I can attach to that because he's a strong leader and I want to be around that kind of guy. Or a worship team. If the lights are right and the smoke and the strobes and everything is just right and the worship team has beautiful voices and they have a great choir, then it's like that's the kind of church I want to go to where they have a great worship band. We've lost it. We've gotten off track. like we pick a church based on a kid's church. If the programs are right, if the atmosphere is right around the kids' church, somehow that's where I want to be. And I'm telling you, that's not the heart of the Father. If you go back and look at the Bible, the 12 tribes of Israel encamped around the presence of God. They encamped themselves around the presence of God. They set up their tents, and they were centered around the presence. We got to get back. We got to renew our minds. It is not okay to just go to church and hear a sermon. It's not okay to go to church and hear great worship songs. There has to be a presence of the living God that is a burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God to set people free. We got to renew our minds. We got to stop hoping that the programs will be right and everything will be perfect. You get around the presence of God, everything will change in your life. This is not just a church thing. We have the power to create atmospheres around us that dictate how we will experience our days. We will never change the world until the church changes the way it thinks. Listen, the bullseye for the church will always be the same. If I had a big target up here and a big target, the center of that target will always be souls. Jesus is concerned about the harvest. I had the most amazing favor over my life this week on Tuesday. I got to go spend 2 hours with Lou Engle, sitting at a table with Lou Engle and just letting him pour and dump into me about the harvest time. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, how did I get at this table? Like, how am I sitting here letting this man just pour into me? And he's just speaking to me about an end-time revival that God wants to do on the earth where the climate of heaven invades earth and it changes everything. And I believe that with all of my heart. I believe you and I are about to step into something. It's not a church service. It's not just a meeting. It is an atmosphere that is created around our lives that causes us to live in a perpetual breakthrough. That you're living from one victory to another. And you're not living defeated. And you're not living based on if everybody likes you and if everybody thinks you're great and everything's going good. Listen to me. I'm telling you, I have found the secret in God. My peace and my joy comes from the Lord. And whether you like me, whether you decide to stay, or whether you decide to go, is not going to steal my joy. I found out something. God likes me. He likes me the way I am. And he's bringing me into this place of victory. And I refuse to let circumstances and problems and cares of this life take me out of that environment. Man. The Bible teaches us that heaven and hell are a big deal. It will always be the focus of our church. Souls, people getting saved. There was a young man that was up here praying with his son over here on the right-hand side. I don't know where you had a suit on. You still in here? Yeah, man. When you came up and prayed with me a couple weeks ago, it changed my life. I have prayed for you every day. I've looked for you. Last week I was looking for you. And when I saw you today, it's like my spirit leaped within me. Why? Because something happened in your life a couple weeks ago. There was an old man that died and a new man came alive. There was a transformation that happened in your life. Old things passed away and all things become new. That's the focus of the house. But God teaches us something. He teaches us in his word that will always be the focus, but there's so much more. The Bible teaches us that we are the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:13. If you have your Bibles, go look at it with me. Matthew 5:13. You're the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. We're the salt of the earth. And he goes on to say, you're the light of the world. Verse 14. You're the light of the world. A city that is set up on a hill cannot be hidden. So he's saying, yeah, souls is the focus, but you got to realize something, that you are the salt of the earth. You're the preservative that the world needs to see. You create an atmosphere around you where there is hope. An atmosphere of heaven that lives with you 24/7 and just doesn't come and visit you when you're at church. This is not about a visitation. It's about a habitation. he goes on to say in Matthew 13, 33, he said another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Some of you don't even know what leaven is. Leaven is like yeast. It's yeast that causes the flour to rise. And he says, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was leavened. He says, your salt, your light, and your leaven. In other words, I'm sending you into this world to show them a different way of living. We're not here to judge people. We're not here to preach and condemn people because of their lifestyles. You and I are salt. We're a tablespoon of salt. We're a pinch of yeast, and we're a candle in a dark world. You say, well, Pastor, the world's getting darker and darker. Well, I want you to know something. The darker the world gets, the brighter my light is shining. I'm not looking at what's falling apart. I'm looking at where we're headed. We're headed into a season of great victory. Why? Because I'm living with a mindset of salt, light, and leaven. I'm living with a mindset that says, hey, we're not going to allow the spirit of this world to dominate who we are. We are going to take the word of God, apply it to our lives, and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In other words, we're not called to spend energy worrying about the sins of the whole world, at least not at first. At first, we're called to be a teaspoon of salt, a pinch of yeast, and a flickering candle in a dark room. In other words, we are called to impact the world with the atmosphere of heaven. We're not here to tell them what they're doing wrong and tell them how they should be thinking. No, no, we're here to demonstrate life from God's perspective. My job is to demonstrate life from God's perspective. It's who I am. It's who I was created to be. The church has to learn a new culture. Somehow it's just been built around the wrong thing and the wrong principles. You ever notice that the principalities and the spirits of this world are seeking influence on humanity? Like they want us to step into their environment and be involved in the environment that they live in. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to step in there and shine the light of a new way of living. Our response to spiritual influence creates atmosphere. Listen, when you're sitting at the table, getting ready to have your meal, and the Holy Spirit prompts you to walk over to another table and to introduce yourself and ask them, is there anything I could pray with you about? I know that's crazy, right? But it's what's supposed to be happening in the body of Christ. We're supposed to be living in spiritual obedience. And as we walk in spiritual obedience and we begin to minister from obedience, it creates an atmosphere around our lives. You ever notice it's easier to be mad around mad people? Huh? If you come into an environment where everybody's mad, all of a sudden you're mad and you don't even know what you're mad about. Huh? It's easier to be happy around happy people. We go up to Rodney Howard Brown's, and I'm not laughing. I don't have any spirit of laughter on me, and I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden everybody around me starts laughing. Before long, I'm like, this is pretty cool. I love this. Pretty soon, I'm happy. Right? I'm just happy. Why? Because the atmosphere that we create has the power to influence everybody around us. It's easier to be happy when you're around happy people. It's easier to become depressed when you're around depressed people. So you walk in and there's this gloominess. You can feel it in the air sometimes. It's like a heaviness. And you walk into that atmosphere and all of a sudden now you just start feeling heaviness all around you. I say all the time, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Why? Because, listen, if you want to be a winner, surround yourself with winners. Huh? You want to be successful? Hang around successful people. This is how atmosphere works. The atmosphere that you carry is impacting everybody around you. We have the power to change the atmosphere. The Spirit of the living God is inside of us. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, flip over there and look at it with me. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know what that means? Do everything in the presence of God. Do all to the glory of God. No matter what you're doing. You're running the business, do all to the glory of God. You're working for somebody and he's a jerk, do all for the glory of God. Huh? You got trouble all around you, do all to the glory of God. Don't let your problems and your the cares of this life overtake you. Live in the atmosphere where the glory of God is. Psalm 148. Everybody flip there with me. Psalm 148. David's writing. He says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the highest. Praise him, all you angels. Praise him, all you hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars and light. Praise him, you heavens of the heavens, you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. And he goes on, he just keeps going about everything praising the Lord. What's he saying? Create an atmosphere of praise around you. Create an atmosphere around you that you live and dwell in the presence of the living God. We exist to host his presence. If you study the Bible, if you try to, like a lot of times when I read something, then I'll try to go back and try to read the Hebrew on it, or I'll go back and look at the Greek and try to see what that meaning means. And I was reading in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to keep it and to tend it. The Lord created man, and the first thing he does for man is he puts him in the Garden of Eden. And I was just looking at that word Eden, and it's a unique word. Eden is a complicated word in the Hebrew. It has so many different meanings. It's not referring to a garden with trees. However, I do know and believe that the word teaches us that there were trees in the garden. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was the tree that God said, don't touch this tree. You know, so there are trees in there. But Eden refers to a lot when you begin to look at it in Hebrew. Eden refers to order. God says, I'm going to take man and put him in order. It means spot. It's a spot. It means a peaceful place, a paradise. I found this meaning, Bill. It says it's an open door. Eden was an open door. It was a state of innocence, bliss. It was ultimate happiness. It means, Eden means, a spot on earth where God has an open door from heaven to earth. Eden was a place, it was a spot on earth where God had placed man. But it really is, it wasn't a place at all. It was an environment. Eden was an atmosphere. Bill has been to Israel 45 times, 46 times. Can't count them anymore. And I was with him. And while we were there, we were going all around. And I asked Bill, I said, where was Eden? Where was the Garden of Eden? Because we know where the rivers were. We know where the all the different rivers and the Euphrates and all these rivers that flowed in the garden. It should be pretty easy to find the place, but they can't find it. Nobody can find it. It's a big mystery where Eden was, because I really believe it wasn't a place. It was an atmosphere. We were created to live in an atmosphere of heaven. We were created to live in the cares of this life and in the bondages and burdens of our mind. We were called to be out of that place and into a new kingdom. You live in the kingdom of God. This is a weird dwelling on this earth, but it's not my home. This is just a passing through place. I dwell in the kingdom of God. I am seated at the right hand of God. I am seated in heavenly places with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And when you live that way, it changes everything. That takes away your influence over me. That takes away my dependency upon you to create joy for me. Bobby can't, my wife who's in Orlando still, she can't do for me what he can do for me. You understand? It's this atmosphere. And God's calling his church to say, come on, get in the right atmosphere. Start living in the right atmosphere. I wonder, what's the atmosphere of your home? What's the climate like in your home? See, I grew up, my dad's been a preacher my whole life. My dad's in heaven now. But as a kid, you know, my dad's father whipped him all the time with a switch. So my father whipped me with a switch. I'm not against it. I'm just telling you. I got a 29-year-old son. And his whole life growing up as a child, I whipped him with a switch. But something happened when I had my little girl. Everything changed in my mind. I'm thinking there's got to be a better way. And I learned how to discipline her without taking a switch and, and wearing her out. And my son's like, Dad, you didn't do that to me. You, what's up with that? I said, well, Jordan, you know, when I was raising you, I was raising you the way Papa raised me. But I began to read in the Word and understand that there's a better way that I can discipline. And I don't know, it's just God's, like, I'm growing out of old mindsets. I have grandchildren now. And when I come in the room, it's on. Baby shark, daddy shark, da 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 da. We're running around the room. As soon as Pop gets in the room, I said, Alexa, play baby shark. No, 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 no. We're chasing each other around the room. We're celebrating. We're dancing. It's a party. Why? Because I'm creating an atmosphere that when Pop comes in the room, it's on, baby. When my dad came home from work, he was tired, he was exhausted. He came into the room, he wanted dinner. We sat down and had dinner, and he was tired, he went to bed, and he got up and went to work. I promise you, I have no bad memories of my childhood. My father worked 30 years at the Ford Motor Company. He was a hard worker. He went to the jails, he went to the prisons. He preached. He's the greatest soul winner I've ever known in my life. But I found myself living in an atmosphere and a climate in my home that was patterned after the way I was raised. And I began to look at my life and say, you know what? No, I can do better than that. I can get a blueprint from God's Word, and I can begin to act out an atmosphere from heaven. Now when my grandson disobeys me, you know what I tell him? You better stop, Titus, or I'm going to kiss your face off. He's like, what? I said, Papa's about to kiss your face off if you don't stop that. I'm going to come over there right now and just kiss you until you can't stand it no more. And he's so mad. And I run over there and grab him, kiss his face off until the joy comes in his heart. He said, well, you can't do that. Yes, I do. I do. If you don't stop that, I'm going to tickle you so bad till you pee yourself. You better stop it now. It's a different way of thinking. Huh? It's a different way of thinking. I'm living this thing out, man. I got to walk this out too. Me and my wife, our marriage is better than it's ever been. But you know what? I'm learning how to be a better husband. I got to pick my battles. My wife decided she's going to fly my daughter home from Bethel for a weekend to go to the SIN conference. And I'm thinking, have you lost your mind? You're going to pay that much money to fly her home just for a weekend to go to the SIN conference? And then the Holy Spirit said, what atmosphere are you creating? She said, what? I said, wait a minute. I just walked away. I said, I'm not going to go down. What am I getting in that fight for? Why am I going to get in that fight? I said, it's okay, baby. It's all good. I can't wait to see her. Is she bringing the dog? Well, years ago, I wouldn't have did that. We would have went, it would have been 2-3 days of arguing and sleeping on the couch and all that stuff, you know? But I'm learning that I've got to create the right atmosphere. What atmosphere is in your home? Don't we go down like rabbit trails, man? Things are going great, and then all of a sudden just something happens, and it just tries to pull us into another atmosphere. I went to see PJ. He owns Chick-fil-A on Airport, and I was going to see PJ. I just wanted to talk to him for a few minutes, tell him about the horse barn and everything that was going on. And it was so busy at Chick-fil-A, man. They were parked. They were lined up all the way around. There was no place to park in there, so I had to park way in the parking lot across from Chick-fil-A and walk all the way across there. And as I'm walking across, one guy was sitting in line to go to Chick-fil-A and decided he wasn't going to wait in the line anymore, so he decided he was going to pull out. At the same time, the guy behind him pulled out to go around him. So he's in the traffic that's supposed to be going this way. This guy pulls out and hits that guy. These guys are like 80 years old. And all of a sudden, I seen that, and I said, oh, no. And I started walking towards them. And they get out of the car, and they've got their fists drawn, and they're MFing and they're cussing each other out, and they're toe-to-toe. I mean, they're this close. They're just screaming at each other. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, these two old guys are going to go to fighting right here. 15 minutes ago, they were great. They're sitting in line at Chick-fil-A waiting to get food. But now something has happened that has caused them to set a whole nother atmosphere over their life. And now they're in a rage. I think they're going to have a heart attack. If you're here today, sir, we could talk later. I'm not trying to point you out. I don't know. I didn't even know the guys. I don't know who they were. They could be sitting here. But I was like, Lord Jesus, don't fight here in the parking lot. Just let's bring some peace in here. This happens in our lives. I was at home on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? Wednesday? Monday. I don't know what day it was. My Aunt Hopi flew in from Columbus, huh? It was Thursday. I'll get it right. I only had a couple more. I was going to get it. It was either going to be Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. But Hopi was sitting on the edge of the bed at our house, and I had gone into the room to get changed, and all of a sudden she passed out and hit the ground and went into convulsions. And I didn't know what was happening. I hear him screaming, and I run in the other room, and there she is. And so I just grabbed her and pulled her face close to me, and I looked at her, and I could just see she was quivering, and she was about to throw up. She was just, like, shaking, and she was pale, and I just started rebuking strokes and heart attacks. I said, in the name of Jesus, you're not going to have a stroke and a heart attack. And we just started praying over her and believing over her. I called the church, and I said, hey, they're having women's Bible study in there today. It was Thursday. And I said, stop everybody. Tell everybody that we need to pray for Hope. She just passed out. I got an ambulance on the way to the house. Well, Gail said when she walked in the room, everybody in the room was already in travail. They were already praying. They were already crying. The Spirit of God was so in the house. And Monica looked over at Miss Gail and said, I just stepped into the room and I stepped into something. It's like, what did she step into? An atmosphere of heaven. And I want you and I to realize we can carry that wherever we go. It's not just the church service. You can have it in your relationships. You can have it in your home. You can have it in your family. You can have it on your job. You can have it in your car. It's the presence of the living God. And where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Stop allowing the spirits of this world to dictate your life. Stop allowing circumstances and situations to control your environment. Your environment matters. Whew. Listen, here's what happens. An atmosphere that is sustained creates a climate. When you have a sustained atmosphere, it creates a climate. That's why we live in Florida. Because the sun shines most of the time and it creates a climate that we like to live in. I grew up in Ohio. I don't want to live in that climate. I want to live in a sustained climate. It's the same thing spiritually. When I sustain a climate around me and when I sustain an atmosphere around me, it creates a climate around my family. I have the power to change the atmosphere. You have the power to change the atmosphere. When you live in a sustained climate, a sustained atmosphere, it creates a climate. And a climate means that the atmosphere is predictable. You don't have to guess who I am. Hopi's my aunt, and she's been around me long enough. She doesn't have to second guess if I'm going to come home and be in a bad mood or a good mood. She knows when I come in, the atmosphere in the room is going to elevate. Why? Because I'm not going to allow a bad mood to change my day. And I'm telling you, this has to go in everybody's homes. You got to start looking at it. Because here's what happened. A sustained climate creates strongholds. An atmosphere creates a climate. A sustained climate will create strongholds. And that's what's going on in a lot of people's lives. They lived in a depressed home, and now they live depressed. Why? Because there was an atmosphere that created a climate that you were raised in that now has become a stronghold in your mind. Everybody lived angry. Everybody fought all the time. So now in your home, you're experiencing the same thing that you experienced as a child. This is why you see it generation after generation. You'll see people that are alcoholics, and you go to talking to them, and you find out their father was an alcoholic. Their mother was an alcoholic. Now they got a child, and that child's addicted. And it's like this pattern that keeps going because nobody came into the environment and said, you know what, I got to change the culture. This is what Paul said when he said, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Renew your mind. Look at the strongholds that are in your life and say, you know what? I refuse to live under the strongholds of the world. I refuse to walk that way. I will walk in the Spirit, and I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you can drive out strongholds. You can get them revealed to you. It's amazing what's become normal. It's amazing what is normal in people's lives. We don't even realize it because we're just around it. It's a climate that we're around all the time. It's doubt. It's unbelief. It's negativity. It's complaining. And I mean, there's people, you could just say, it's a beautiful sunny day. Oh, Pastor, there's a lot of clouds up there. Yeah, it's not, you know, it's. I saw the weather report. It's going to start raining here real soon. I'll focus on it. Get ready. The rain's coming. The rain's coming. I get it, but I just want you to understand and know that you have the power. A stronghold is a fortified place. Strongholds have to do with the way people think. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God through the obedience of Christ. This is the only place in the New Testament where it talks about strongholds. And Paul is referring to a stronghold in the mind. Don't, if you grew up in a negative spiritual climate, listen, those strongholds will become a prison and you'll live in it. And I'm telling you, you can change that. Change that. Albert Einstein said this: the significant problems that we face cannot be solved on the same level they were created in. In other words, he's saying, you can't keep doing the same old things and expect a different result. Change your atmosphere. The desire to change the status quo is the gateway to revelation. I don't want to be the same way I was 3 years ago. I don't want to be the same pastor I was 3 years ago. I want to be a man that loves people like nobody else. I hope everybody in this town knows, boy, if you go to Pastor Greg's church, he is going to love you like nobody else. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy that's not fault-finding and always negative and always looking at what you're not doing. I want the atmosphere of heaven to permeate in my life. You know what the atmosphere of heaven does? It celebrates that everybody was made in the image of God. That'll kill racism right there. That'll destroy a prejudiced heart. When you realize everybody was created in God's image. And when you realize everybody in this room has gifts and talents. And the third thing is realizing that everybody in this room has access to the Holy Spirit. It'll bring unity. It'll cause churches to function together. It'll stop all this, my church and your church. It'll be one church, the church of Jesus Christ, the church of the living God, who is impacting culture with a climate from heaven. Atmosphere creates climate. Climate creates strongholds, and strongholds create culture. And I'm telling you, I want us to change the culture of the house, that we are honoring, that we love people the way God loves people, that we care for people the way God cares for people, that we change the climate, that we change it. This is the year of the breakthrough. Atmospheres create climates. Climates create strongholds. Strongholds create culture. Culture is a way of life that is shared by people in a place and time. I want us to share the right culture. Miss Gail, if you come to the keyboard, or Michael, whoever's here, Natalie. Amen. Everybody stand up on your feet with me, please. Sorry if I went a little long, but it's burning in my belly. As children of God, we're called and equipped to change the atmosphere in our world. We have to stop Satan's culture of death. The body of Christ has to stop Satan's culture of death. He has created a culture of death in our community, and we've got to stop it. We can put an end to abortion. Yes. I'm telling you, we can drive this out. We can unify our hearts. We can stop all this division and hatred and come into a place of love and unity and hope. There's hope for humanity. Spiritual climate doesn't develop overnight. It's a progression that begins with a spiritual influence that influences an atmosphere. Lift your hands to the Lord, everybody in the room. I just ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to create the right atmospheres in your home. That the Lord will show you how to create and sustain an atmosphere that becomes a climate. When the enemy wants you to go down the path and just unload on people or situations, that God would give you the peace and the confidence to know that you can change the environment with the right atmosphere. In other words, the culture that we live in is determined by the atmosphere that we carry. Father, I thank you for every hand that is lifted to you right now. And I pray that you would reveal to them the culture of their home, the atmosphere of their home, the climate that they're living in. We would begin to get into the word of the Lord and cause circumstances and situations to change. If everybody put your hands down, bow your heart to the Lord and pray right now. I'm going to ask you a serious question that only you can answer. I would not even try to answer this for you, but I'm going to ask you about the atmosphere that you're living in. Is it a Christ-honoring atmosphere? Do you live under a window or open heaven? God put Adam in the Garden of Eden. He put him in his presence. And some of you, the world has just influenced you so much that you live in a wrong atmosphere. God says, hey, I want to bring you into my kingdom. I want to bring you into my covering. I want to cover you with my love. I ask everybody in the room to honestly answer this question. If you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? What's the atmosphere of your life? A couple weeks ago, the young man that I was talking to on my right, your left, he made a decision to follow Christ at an altar call just like this. And I'm asking you to respond to God's love by surrendering your life to Christ. If you're not living in the right atmosphere, just lift your hand to the Lord. Come on, you know your mindset has not been right. Lift your hands, Lord. Thank you. There's a lot of hands. Come on, more of you. Do it now. Just respond to God. Come on, this message is speaking to you because you've set the wrong atmosphere in your life. Amen. Everybody in the room, lift your hands with them right now. And just repeat after me. God, I love you, and I know you died for me. I give you my life. I want my atmosphere to reflect you. Forgive me of all my sin. Come into my life. Tear down every stronghold. I love you, Jesus, and I need you. Just everybody with your hands lifted to the Lord, just look up to the heavens and then